now for thy brethren in Ephath of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their thousands, and look how the brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper, and took and went as Jesse commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and he came and saluted his brethren. As he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion of Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king, will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth the Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is uncircumcised Philistine that should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, What shall it be done to the man that killeth him? And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, Why comest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for today. Dear Lord, please help me as I'm about to preach. Please help it to speak to these people's hearts, and that they might get something from it, dear Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, this passage of scripture is the great famous story of David and Goliath. But what I want to talk about is not like you're David and he's and Goliath is who you're facing, but the courage of three characters in this story. A great Christian author, J.R.R. Tolkien, said one time, courage will now be the best defense against the storm that is at hand. What I want you to remember is that courage is an important tool against the enemies in our spiritual life. So we come to point one, missing courage. Let me catch you up to what's happening in this story right now. The Philistines are facing the Israelites. They are both camped on opposite hills, and in the middle was the valley of Elah. The valley was like the danger zone. It was like no man's land. It was like my sister's room. Nothing but skeletons and dead carcasses lived in there. Look at verse number 4. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits in a span. Then comes Goliath. Now look at the Israelite army in the end of verse 11. When Saul and the Israel who heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. You see what's missing from the Israelite army? They're missing courage. If they don't send someone out to fight Goliath, they're going to be taken into captivity by the Philistines. Now look at verse 32. And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight the Philistines. He said, Let no man's heart fail. We still need to hear that today, even though we aren't fighting literal Goliaths. If you have fear, you need courage. You realize that there are many different fears, like snakes and heights, clowns, public speaking, talking to girls, and so on. But all of them need courage as the remedy. We are the Israelite army. And we need courage, because courage is facing your greatest fear, but doing the right thing anyway. So now we come to point number 2, misplaced courage. In a regular sermon about David and Goliath, Goliath is your greatest fear, and David is who you should be to handle this fear. The problem with that is that we aren't experts with the slingshot, nor have we killed a lion and a bear with our bare hands. Look, we can't be David. Look at Goliath. He is the world's approach to courage. Verse 5. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves upon the brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. The staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spearhead weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. He was about 9.5 feet tall. He has a bronze helmet, bronze armor that weighs 5,000 shekels, which is about 125 pounds. He has a bronze javelin, a spear with an iron head. Goliath in this passage does not have real courage. He is using misplaced courage, which is when you banish all your fears by just looking at yourself, looking at his brute strength and his height and his high-tech armor. He's using self-esteem as his courage. The world's version of courage is to try to convince you that there's nothing to be afraid of, but that's not true, because if you think that, you lose your touch with reality. We need something to help us in spite of fears. We need to face our fears with courage. And now we come to my last point, point number three, moving courage. We need something in our lives that enables us to have courage in spite of our fears. Don't try to put yourself in David's shoes. We aren't David. We already stated that we are Saul in the Israelite army. We are scared and in need of a savior. Good news, God sent us a savior. This is seen in verse 8. When Goliath says, choose you a man for you, David is a representative. He's not just fighting for them, but as them. God sent the ultimate David, did he not? It is Jesus. David went to the valley of Elah, but Jesus went to the valley of death. If David would have failed, it would have meant physical death. If Jesus would have failed, it would have been eternal death. David risked his life, but Jesus gave his life. Because Jesus did this, our worst fear only makes us better. Think about it. What is the worst thing that could happen to us here on earth? Death, right? But if we die, we just go into eternity. So therefore, by God sending his son, our worst fear would only make us better. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you today. Dear Lord, thank you for letting me come up here and preach. Dear Lord, please help Steve-O as he's coming next. Please help him to do good and for you to use him, dear Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.